Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. And all the time? God. Amen. Amen. I always say that because it's true. Amen. It's true. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thanking you, Lord. We know that you're in our presence, Father. Where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst, Father. And we just declare that, and we thank you for being here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit moving through us, Father God, allowing us to hear you, allowing us to hear your word. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for this service. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, let's turn in your Bibles to Ezra. If you don't know where Ezra is, it's in the Old Testament. It's before Nehemiah, in between 2 Chronicles and Nehemiah. And we're going to talk about this person called Ezra. And we're just going to read here. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Says this was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the law of the Lord and to teach those decrees and regulations to the people of Israel. Now that doesn't seem like much of a scripture, but there are three things that we're going to take from this scripture. If we have ever read Ezra or heard anything about Ezra, Ezra demonstrated how a person of God or a person who knows God, who knows God's word, can move God's people. Someone who knows God's word and follows God's word can be such that of a leader, let's say, and can have such power to move God's people. Amen? Move God's people forward unto a new thing. Amen? He was effective because in the scripture, well, it says that he was well-versed. He was determined to study God's word. Amen? He was effective because he obeyed God's word. Amen? And so he was a student of the word, and he was a doer of the word. Amen? He was effective because he knew the word of God, and he acted on the word of God. Amen? So what we see here is that anyone who knows God's word, anyone who is a student of God's word, can use God's word to effectively move God's people. Amen? So if we are students of the word and we obey God's word, we know it, we obey it, we can move it. Amen? Amen. Like Ezra, you and I both should determine ourselves to both study and obey. Now, there are many scriptures that tell us to study to show thyself approved and to read the word, study the word, meditate on the word. There's a bunch of scriptures that tell us that we should do these things. And like Ezra, if we know the word, then we can use the word. But unless we know the word, if we don't know the word, then you can't use the word. Then the power of God is not available to you because you don't know the word. Amen? Amen? So like Ezra, there's three things we learn from Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And the first of which, I'm going to give you three things, and from there we're going to explain what Ezra gives to us in his teachings. He gives us the first thing, that we must learn it. We must learn God's word. That's the first thing. We need to learn God's word. Amen? The Bible, as you know, is an incredible book. Amen? It is an incredible book. If you take the time to read it, study it, it is by far the best book you will ever read. It's a book of history, right? It's a book of facts, and ever more science is coming along the way to come along with those facts. Amen? And those facts prove that there is a God. Amen? And that God created all things. Amen? Amen? And most importantly, I think we need to understand that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? The Bible is the Word of God. It contains the mind of God. It contains His will for each one of us. Amen? That is why the Bible was given to us. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scriptures are given by inspiration to God. Oh, there it is. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17 says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why should we study the Word of God? I think this scripture here tells us a whole lot. It is good for us to use it. Amen. Why should we learn the Bible? Why should we learn it? There are a lot of, I don't like to read. I don't have time to read. There's a lot of things that happen in life that say, I don't want to read that. I'll listen to it. And that's good. But there's something about reading and seeing the words and seeing how the words are put together and getting that from paper to your eyes, to your brain. There's something about reading the word and studying the word. Amen? The first thing, why we need to learn it, is God's word is infallible. There is no error in God's word. Amen? There is no error. There is no error. The law of the Lord, the law of the word of God is perfect concerning your soul. Amen? The testimony of the Lord that we have, the testimony in God's word is infallible. It is inerrant. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. It says, do not add anything to his words, lest he rebuke you, for you be found a liar. The purity of his word does not need anything added to it. The word of God does not need anything added to it. It is already there. Amen? God warns us not to misrepresent his word. Amen? So the first thing why we need to learn it is because it's infallible. Amen? Praise God. The second reason why we need to learn it is that God's word is complete. And that means this. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 says, God gives us a warning. It says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words and prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add him to the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So God's word is complete already. Amen? The Bible does not need any new chapters or any new verses. It doesn't need a chapter of Mitch. It doesn't need a chapter, it doesn't need that. It's already there. Amen? There are many cults and many other, religions that add or take away. But this is complete. Amen? This is complete. The third reason why we need to learn the Word of God is authoritative. Let's turn to Psalms 119:89. And 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Oh, yeah. Amen? Your word is settled in heaven. The word of God is the only source for absolute divine authority. Absolute divine authority. The divine authority is for you. It's for me as followers of Jesus Christ. When some say, I have a word from the Lord for you, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. And then as you study God's word, see if the Lord speaks to you through his scriptures about that word. Only then will you know if the Lord is truly speaking to you. So the word of the Lord is authoritative. It's the authority. Amen? Amen. The fourth reason why we should learn the word, as Ezra did. God's word is totally sufficient for all of our needs. Amen? Amen? We don't need anything else. Amen? And we can jump back to the 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all of these things. Right? It's profitable for doctrine. Right? It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for being righteous. It's profitable for being a man or woman of God. It's profitable so we can be complete in our lives. If you feel like you're missing something, go to the Word. It's going to complete it. Amen? Thoroughly equipping you for your life. Thoroughly equipping you for every good work that you do or that God has for you to do. Thoroughly equipping you. Amen? Giving you what you need to do the things that God told you to do. Amen? Amen. We as Christians, you and I, can be totally secure in knowing what God has for our life by studying the Word. Amen? Because here, everything is already there. Everything you need for your life is already here. We just have to learn it. Amen? We just have to learn it. As Ezra did, he determined himself, which means that's an action term. Determined means I determine in myself to do something, right? I determine in myself to do and do this and do that. I determine. So Ezra determined himself to study the Word, to learn the Word, which allowed him to know what God's will was for his life. And he was an awesome teacher of the Word because he knew the Word. Amen? The last reason, the fifth reason why we need to learn the Word, as Ezra did, is because God's Word, or the Word of God, will accomplish what it promises. Amen? I said it will accomplish what it promises. Amen? The promises of God will be accomplished. Amen? If God told you something will happen, it'll happen. Amen? It will happen. Isaiah 55:11 says, So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the very thing for which I sent it. Amen? That is very, very powerful. Let's read that again. So shall my word, that's God's word, amen, right? God's promises, amen, that goeth forth out of my mouth. If we know the word, we can speak the word, therefore we activate the word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. 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 God sent his word to accomplish his perfect will for you in your life. If God makes a promise to you, he will fulfill it in his time. In his time. You know, us in our society, we get in that fast food mentality, right? We want it now. What's that? Burger King, I want it my way now, right? If God makes a promise to you, he will fulfill it, but in his time. Amen? There, you can go through the word, and there are so many promises. So many promises. The promises should reassure you, me, and bring comfort to you and me. In any time of trial that we have, those promises are there for you to take hold of so that when we go through life's stuff, we can grab onto those promises and it can reassure us that we're going to get through it. Amen? That we have the power to get through it. That God's will is for us to get through it and onto something else. Amen? Onto something good. Onto something that's better. Amen? That's what it promises. So I challenge you to take time to study the Word. The Lord will show you wonderful things for your life when you study the Word. So the book that we have, the Word of God, is far from being a stuffy book, right? It's far from being a boring book. The Bible is inspired. It's authoritative. It will help build you up. It will help you learn to serve, learn to love, learn to glorify God. Amen? As Ezra, he was a student of the Word. So as Ezra, we can be students of the Word. Because once we learn the Word, then we can move on to the second step as Ezra. And that is to live the Word. Amen? To live the Word. To live it. I'm going to turn to Galatians chapter 5. I don't want to read it yet, but we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 5. We all have, what we say, evil desires in our mind. If you say that you don't, I would second guess that a little bit. In our mind, we have thoughts, amen? How many of you think about things? And certain thoughts come up every once in a while, not that, you know, it happens. Amen. We can't ignore them, though. So in order for us to follow what God tells us or the spiritual guidance, we must deal with them in a decisive way. Galatians 5:24 says to crucify them. It says to crucify those thoughts. Amen? Those desires, those obvious sins, those sins of sexual immorality and those sins of demonic activities. And those are the big ones that we see, right? That we know of. But there are little ones too, less obvious ones like being hostile or being jealous or selfish. Those are the little things, right? And those things we can't ignore. So what does it mean to live the Word? And so Galatians 5:22 through 25 shows us that you live the Word and we see the Word and we can be the Word by the gifts that give us the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? So those who ignore such sins and refuse to deal with them reveal that they have not received the gift of the Spirit, which means that they then don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Because the gift of the Spirit then leads to a transformed life. And so let's read Galatians 5:22 through 25. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this. So the Holy Spirit in you produces this, right? The Holy Spirit produces, where do you get the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit comes from knowing God's Word and then accepting that God gave us the Holy Spirit to come live in your heart, right? To come live in you and being reborn again. Amen? And by doing that rebirth, we receive the Holy Spirit. Thus, then, to live it out, right, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. So all the things of the sinful nature that you have or that you had or are nailed to the cross, they're crucified. Since we are now living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's living it, right? We learn it by studying the Word, but then we live it by exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is ever working. It's always working within us. The Spirit produces these character traits that are found in Christ. We can look at the life of Christ and see all of these fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And so as a follower of Christ, we can then understand that we need to follow that example then and live and produce these fruits. Amen? These are byproducts of spiritual growth. If we turn to Matthew chapter 7, when we read about the fruits of the Spirit, and when you study the Word about the fruits, something comes up. And this word came up to me when I was reading this. It says, it is by our fruit, it is by your fruit that people will know you follow Jesus. But it is only by our connection with Jesus that we will produce good and lasting fruit. So you can be nice, but not be connected to Jesus. When you're connected with Jesus, you will produce the fruit. Amen? All right? That is what people see. That is what people see, the fruit. That's what people see. God wants to take care of your being before your doing. He wants you to know the Word and then apply the Word. This comes through studying and then living it out. Amen? Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 through 20. Says this, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse 17, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Verse 19, so every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. We are asked in this scripture to evaluate, and I'm going to use this word, and to judge by examining their life, by examining the fruit of their life. Amen? Not judging to condemn somebody, but to know the heart of the person by the fruit of their life. We are told to examine. Yes, just as you can identify fruit, this is an apple, this is an orange, this is an apple tree, this is a pear tree, this is this, right? So you can identify the heart of people. Amen? So that you can see that, yes, they're a follower of Christ. No, they're not. So maybe they need the love of Christ. Amen? It's not to judge them and say, hey, oh, they're not following Christ. Oh, they're going to hell. Bah. No. It's so that we can identify and say, yes, you got something. I got something you need. Amen? I got something you need. And we can live it out loud so they can see and they can judge us by our fruit. Amen? They can look at us and say, you got something that I need. I like apples. You're an apple tree. All right. They can come to you and you got something for them. Amen? Amen? We have to learn it. We have to live it. And then we have to loan it. We have to give it. We have to teach it. We have to pass it on to other people. Amen? We learn it first by studying the Word, and then we use that studying of the Word to live the Word, right? And by living the Word, we then allow ourselves to be teachers of the Word, to be doers of the Word, to teach our kids the Word, to teach our family the Word, to teach our friends the Word, to teach our neighbors the Word, to teach anybody we see at Walmart or at Food City or wherever, the Word. Amen? We need to loan it out. We need to give it away. The Word of God is like a seed. Amen? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. It might seem like a stupid question, but in teaching, right, they say, Mark, that no question is a stupid question, right? What does an apple tree produce? What does an apple tree produce?
More seeds.
Apples is probably the correct answer, but I thought a lot about this. This is why I'm asking you a question here. Apple trees, right? The purpose of an apple tree is to produce what? Apples, right? Ah, on the outside. But what's on the inside? The answer misses and only scopes the surface of what the apple tree is there for. Apples were meant to create more apple trees. Then, which were meant to create more apples. And then those apples were meant to create more trees. And the apple tree was meant to create more apples. And by the seed, the apple was supposed to create more apple trees. So the apple has the seed on the inside. But that's when that seed comes out, that seed is supposed to do what? Produce more apple trees. And those apple trees are supposed to produce more apples. And the seed inside those apples are supposed to produce more apple trees. So the seed of God is inside of you, inside of us, inside of me, inside of Christians and believers of all areas. So what do those seeds need to do? They need to come out. So what can they do? Create more apple trees so that those trees can create more apple seeds. So that those seeds can create more apples. Does that make sense? You follow my thinking here? So if we don't give it out, then we can't grow more apple trees. We have to be able to give it out. Produces more and more and more. An increase. A healthy apple tree has the potential not only to produce many apples, but also many apple trees. A lot of times I think we always think about the apple. A good tree will produce many apples. But then the apples are supposed to produce more apple trees. How else do we get apple trees? Think they're just out of nowhere? There's a seed that produces the apple tree. This is a great metaphor, I think, for Christians and followers of Christ and sharers of the gospel, because you need to stay healthy and vibrant as believers, because what's on the inside has to come out to produce more. And produce more. If we're passionate about the gospel as a apple seed is passionate about creating an apple tree, that's what it's made for, yes? To create more apple trees. You plant the seed and it will create more apple trees. It won't create a peach tree. It won't create strawberries. It's going to create an apple tree. But that's what it's meant for. You lay the seed down and it's meant for. You lay any seed down and that's where it's meant to grow. Amen? So you have the gospel seed inside of you, so we need to lay the gospel seed, and guess what will happen? Once we lay the gospel seed, there's scripture about this, right? We lay the seed, and people come along, and we water it, and we tend to it, and God waters it and tends to it, and then it grows into the gospel in somebody's life, and then they can lay the seed, and then it can grow into another gospel tree, and it just go on and so forth. Let's turn to Acts. Amen. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Amen. Acts chapter 2. So if we're passionate about the gospel, then we can use our influence, right, and go beyond the church doors and beyond the church walls and explode the gospel to other people. And what will happen is that gospel then will explode to more and explode to more and explode to more. We see it all the time. We see it when you guys go to Mexico. It explodes. You lay the seed and it explodes. An apple tree lays the apple seed, and the apple seed then grows into the apple tree and produces more apples. Acts chapter 2. 42. Here, I'm going to go through four scriptures of examples of this in Acts. We're going to start at the beginning of Acts. We're going to go all the way to the end here. It says, 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money for those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in their homes in the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So they were living out and sharing their seed, and each day those seeds were producing fruit. Those seeds were growing in the harvest. Amen? Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. Lay the seed with the encouragement of fertile soil and water where it was some tending, it grows. Amen? It grows. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. Again, believe in the Lord and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. So there's an increase. A seed is laid and there's an increase. Amen. A seed is put in the ground and it's tended to and there's an increase. There's more that's added to. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 says, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. So as God nourishes it, the seed is laid, the seed is sown, right? The seed is laid, and God nourishes that through us, through people, through the Word, through learning the Word, through prayer, through God nourishes it, and it grows. If it's not connected, then it's not going to grow. By the end of the book of Acts, we see that the churches were strengthened and were growing daily. An explosion of growth through the region, through Acts. That explosion in growth is why we're even here this morning. There was such an explosion that it came here. And now we're here. Amen? Growth is not an option for believers. It's a reality. And growth is a responsibility. Amen? Growth is not about a specific church either. It's about the plural church. Although we would love to see our church grow in number, the reality is, in the greater scheme of things, it's about the growth of the capital C church. Amen? A global body, the kingdom of God. Amen? Healthy followers give it, teach it, loan it. They learn it, they live it, and they pass it on. Amen? Healthy seeds have it, they lay it, and it grows. Amen? Healthy followers of Christ learn it, teach it, give it. We cannot give away what we do not have. I couldn't give you 20 bucks if I didn't have 20 bucks. If we don't have the Word on the inside, we can't give it away. This is why you need to study the Word. This is why we need to learn the Word and live the Word so we have it, so we can give it. The Word must become incarnate. The word must become invested in your body. Amen? You can't import truth. We have to import truth before we can export truth. Amen? By using the example of Ezra, we as believers, and we know that as believers, as followers of Christ, we have a duty to learn the word, to live the word, and to pass on the word. That's a calling. To learn the word, to accept the gospel, to learn the gospel, and then to live it outright, and then to pass it on. It's no different today for those who desire to be faithful men or women of God, as it was with Acts, with the early disciples. We have to learn the word. We have to have the desire to learn the word. Ezra devoted and had, what did it say? It says he determined to study the word. We have to have that determination to study the word. This is a worthy desire to have. And it doesn't happen by happenstance. It doesn't happen by chance. You have to purpose yourself. It takes purpose. On this day, I now resolve to live for God. On this day, I now choose to do this. On this day, I choose to do it all for the kingdom of God. We have to choose to do that. It just doesn't happen. As Ezra knew, and the purpose involves seeking to know what the word says, then doing it, and then teaching it. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. As Christians, as believers, we need to use the word to do what I call set the tone. We got to set the tone for our life. We have to set the tone for what life is about. Amen? We have to set the tone. We got to set the tone for every situation. We have to set the tone for every circumstance. We have to set the tone. We have to dial it in. We got to set the tone. Chapter 4, verse 12 through 16 says this. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example. Set the tone. When you walk into the room, set the tone. Be the example. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gifts you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church lay hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into the task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep close watch on how you live and how you teach. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation, for the salvation of those who hear you. Set the tone for you. Set the tone for your family. Set the tone for your wife. Set the tone for your life. Set the tone for your kids. Set the tone in your house. Set the tone where you work. Set the tone. Dial it in. Amen? Amen. Any good believer who lives the message instructs it upon others. Jesus didn't call us to become hypocrites. I'm going to read Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 2 and 3. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. What does that tell us? That means they're teaching probably pretty good stuff, but they're not living it. Don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. What does that tell us? We need to learn it. We need to live it. And then we teach it. And we give it, right? Let's go to verse 20 through 25. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. That just means that if we learn it, but we don't live it, that's what he's talking about. They've learned it, they're teaching it, but something's missing in the middle. The glue that keeps it together is the living it. We can learn all we want. You can learn from Genesis to Revelations. You can teach anything you want, Genesis to Revelation. But the glue that binds it all together and that makes it real for people to see is the living it. Amen? is to living it. And that's the hardest thing. But it's such a glue. It's such a, it binds it all together. If you don't live it, you're not the example. And how many of us know that we can see and we can tell when something is not held together properly? The godly person that tries his best to apply the truth to his life, he's not perfect, but he's pressing on toward that direction. Amen? Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And Paul's speaking here. It says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, nor that I have already reached perfection. I think that's an attitude that all believers should tell ourselves. Is that, you know what? And we need to come out and be real about it, because I think sometimes people look from the outside and think that we got it all together and that we think we're holier than thou and all this pious stuff. I mean, that's the perception of some Christians, of some of us, that we are holier than thou, that we're uppity-uppity. But I think we need to understand that we need to come out and be honest and be real to people about, hey, I don't mean to be, you know, when we talk to people about changing our life, about how living right is the good thing to do, we can't be pious and we can't be religious about it. We got to come straight forward and say, look, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved this, but listen to the Word of God. I'm still working on it, and we can work on it together. Amen? So it says here, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, nor that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So a godly person who is trying his best to apply the truth of his life, he's not perfect. He or she is not perfect, but he or she is pressing on toward the direction that they need to be. He walks in the light, and he does not treat his mistakes lightly. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. And so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. If we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The believer's imperfection should never be used as an excuse to do nothing. Oh, I'm a sinner. I can't be doing that stuff. That should never be used. If we are pressing on to the goal towards perfection, then we will never use our sin as an excuse. We will use it to press on. We will use it to empower us to become better. You can use your sin or the time that you sin to know that the blood of Jesus saved you. The blood of Christ cleanses you. And that now you can move on to bigger and better things. Amen? And now you can move on to a bigger increase in your life. We don't have to say, woe is me, I'm a sinner anymore. We can say, yes, I'm free. Yes, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. I can do what you told me to do. I can do what you promised me that I can do. Amen? We can move forward. You can move forward and not stay behind. We can press forward and not be the woe is me, and be the empowered, yes, I can, because you said I can. Amen? Yes, I will, because you are my will. You are my strength. Amen. Amen. You, me, set the tone. We set the tone. You want your tone of your house to be woe is me? Then you set the tone. You set the tone. You want healing in your house? You set the tone. You want righteousness in your house? You set the tone. Amen? The believer who seeks to apply the Lord's will in every circumstance, in public and private, he who watches his speech, he who speaks the truth in a controlled way, let's turn to James. James chapter 1, verse 26. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Life and death is brought by the tongue. The tongue breathes life or death. Your words breathe life and death. Jesus is an example of behavior, love, faith, purity. We read in Ezra, and I challenge you, and I encourage you to read Ezra. And even in Nehemiah, Ezra is in that book as well. He's an example of behavior. He's a student of the word. He practiced the word. He taught the word. We can continue to press on towards perfection in these things when we check our attitude, when we set the tone. We can be the example. We can be the example through our words, through our tongue, what we say, what we do, what we speak about others, what we speak about ourselves, what we speak about our kids, our wife, our whoever, our family members. We set the tone. We set the tone. The goal is to persevere through the trials. Amen? The goal is to continue. The goal is to move on. The goal is to increase into bigger and better things. Amen? I mean, let's just think about this for a second here. We were sinners. It can only increase. And it only should increase. Amen? To bigger and better things. If we were sinners, we're down low because that means we were in out of connection with God. But now Jesus came and made that connection available. So now we're on the up and up. And only our tongue can bring us down. Only what we say, only what we do or don't do, only by our behavior. The goal is to persevere, to continue in these things. This means that we need to continuously progress to become better. Amen? To become better. The promises of God is that you are on the increase. Amen? The promise of God for your life is that you are on the increase. The promise of God for your family is that you are on the increase. Amen? That you are on the increase. That you are going to have better things. Amen? That you are going to be in a better place. Amen? That is the promise. Salvation, prosperity and the will of God for your life, doing what God told you to do, having the promises of God all around you, that is an abundant increase. Amen? Amen? The promises is that if we do this, we not only ensure salvation for ourselves, but we ensure salvation for those who hear us, for those who see us, for those who we interact with. Isn't that what living for Jesus is all about? Isn't that what being a Christian is all about? To know the Word, and then to live the Word, and then to teach the Word to other people, to bring salvation to other people, to bring the possibility that they can be from the sinner realm to now the saved realm? Isn't that the purpose of learning Christ and learning the power of love and learning the power of the Holy Spirit and asking the power of the Holy Spirit to take somebody who is dying and now they are living? Is that not the purpose? It is. That's what it's there for. That's what it's here for. That's what we're talking about. To learn the Word, to live the Word, and then to give the Word, because the Word is life. The Word is life. The Word is living. The Word is there for the taking, for your life, for your family's life. Amen? It's there for you to take, to set the tone in your life. And I say that with excitement, because you, me, we have the key to a perfect life. And I say that meaning that a perfect life being that we know where we are in Christ. We know that we have strength. We know that we are in God's will. We know that we can count on God. Amen? We know and have the promises that whatever's going on in our life, we will get through it. We don't have to stay in it. Amen? We know that if we learn the Word, that we can speak the Word, thus the Word is moving, the Word is active, the Word is in play, the Word is creating. Amen? God created the world by what? Speaking His truth. He made us in His image so that we can speak His Word, so that we can live it. We can pass it on. We can say it. We can do it. We can be the example. We can set the tone, people. we can set the tone, whether it be here, or whether it be in your house, or whether it be at your work. We can set the tone. Amen? You are empowered to set the tone wherever life takes you. You are empowered, just by knowing the word, to set the tone to whoever comes by your path. You are empowered to live this kind of life. You, me, we all are. Amen? Amen. I encourage you to be like Ezra. Learn the word. Live the word. Pass it on. Learn it. Live it. Loan it out. Give it out. I encourage you, no matter where you're at, to do those three things. And you will see the increase in your life. You will see the promises of God come alive in such a way that you may have never seen before. I encourage you. Be an encouragement. Read the word. Pass it on. Read the word. Live the word. Pass it on. Read the word. Live the word. Pass it on. Read the word. Live the word. Pass it on. Read the word. Live the word. Pass it on. Amen? 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 Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's close our eyes. I want this time to be, right now, just to be you and God for a second. Close your eyes and let every distraction around you, the person sitting next to you, the fact that it's almost lunchtime, let that just kind of just be on the side. Let's put God first here for a second. Let's think about your relationship with the Lord, and think about your word time, and think about your study time, and think about your life, and think about passing it on and the chances that you've had. And think about those things in the past, because now today, you have an opportunity to change that. You have an opportunity this day, to choose this day, whom you will serve. You have an opportunity this day to go forward. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Father, we come before you right now, thanking you for your word. Thanking you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you. Yes. Let's just thank him. Let's thank him. Let's begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Yeah, speak it out. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Say it till you believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. On this day, let's say this together. On this day, I resolve to live for you and all that entails. On this day, I serve you, God, for all the days of my life. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, God. Glory to you, God. Glory to you, God. I encourage you today as you go to do that. It is what you just said. What you just spoke out. To live in that. On this day. On tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. I encourage you to have that in the back of your mind, have that in the forefront of your mind. On this day, I live for you, God. Tomorrow, I live for you, God. Tuesday, I live for you, God. Wednesday, I live for you, God. Thursday, I live for you, God. And on and on and on. February, I live for you, God. March, April, I live for you, God. I live for you, God. And all that is, and all that you have for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as you go, I encourage you, seek the Lord, study the word, live it, preach it, teach it to whomever. The word of God calls us to spread the gospel to the nations, to spread the gospel to those who need it. But you can't give it unless you got it. Do you got it? Do you got it? If you got it, then give it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll see you this evening. Holy Spirit fire at 5. And our Spanish service at 6:30. We'll see you Wednesday. Prayer group this week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 10 to 11. Have a blessed week. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Apples are on sale at Food City if you want to spread the word.